This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 99.9 KISW Metal Shop. Right now I'm talking to someone across the world. It's Øystein Bruun. Is that how I say your name? From Borknagar?
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. It's pretty close.
Can I get the perfect pronunciation?
Øystein Bruun.
Okay. Øystein Bruun.
Yeah, we have this in Norway, a Norwegian language that's only in Norway, you know, but that's a difficult sound, I guess, for a lot of people, but it's okay. I'm used to it.
My Norwegian listeners will be like, he's such a redneck. He's trying to do that. He's such a redneck. He's trying to pretend like he knows what's up with Norwegian metal. Anyways, your new album, Fall, it's your 12th studio album. Back again, man. I chatted with you a couple years back, and this was the thick of the pandemic. But you're back, man, and first off, how are you doing today, dude?
I'm fine. I'm perfectly fine, actually. We have some heavy weather going in Norway these days with a lot of snow. So in the sense that the traffic problems and the airports is closed down and, you know, we can't basically walk outside right now. But otherwise, perfectly fine. I'm in my studio in my cave, man cave, and having a good time doing interviews. So shouldn't complain.
So you're able to spend some time, you know, inside doing some interviews while it's rather murky outside.
Yeah, definitely. Looking out at the bad weather and just sitting inside and warm and cozy and have a good time and talking with cool people.
Awesome, man. Well,
can't complain.
So when did you start working on the record?
You know, I always, into some degree, write music in a sense. It, you know, ideas might pop up whenever, you know. So I kind of always, I was in kind of a writing mode. But I remember when we after we did, or during the tour, we did the European tour we did with Moodspell and Insomnium last year. We decided, okay, after this tour, we have to go. We have to start planning the next album and so on and so forth. And we did, basically. And you know, it's one thing is writing the songs and producing the songs and all this stuff. But there is also a lot of logistics to it, you know, involving your traveling back and forth. I live in Bergen. The rest of the guys live in Oslo.
Yep.
And you know, mixing session. And there is a lot of, you know, pieces of the puzzle that need to be, you know, come together and stuff like that. But we started after, you know, after the last European tour we did, we decided to get going with a new album and stuff. Yeah.
So I know that you're like the main, you know, this was kind of your baby originally, as far as Borknagar. Are you the primary songwriter? Is it a collaborative thing? How are things these days?
Yeah, it's a kind of mixed up, I would say. I mean, I founded the band back in the day. I'm kind of the grand old man in the house, in a sense. I definitely are. I still write most of the songs and most of the lyrics. I also produce the album in the sense that I spent a lot of time here in my studio with the material, you know, trying different guitar sounds and all that stuff that goes into producing an album. But I mean, all the guys is kind of involved in. Me and Lars wrote my, you know, lyrics to my songs together as a unit. Then, you know, Lars did two songs for this new album, including lyrics, and Simon had one song. So it's kind of a little bit mixed up. It depends really on the material we have at hand, what material we have on the table, you know. If we use the best material, we had probably, you know, a lot more songs than we have on the actual album. So it's a kind of a process of you know, you're kind of tossing some songs away, not, you know, okay, we're not going forward with this one and we leave this out and, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, it's part of the process. And so sometimes it depends a little bit how, you know, we of course have some plans when starting out. We have some, you know, especially when it comes to studio and booking of studio and stuff like that. But otherwise, the creatives, you know, part of it, we try to be a little bit, not plan too much, really. Of course, we have our guidelines. We have our kind of, we have been working together for such a long time, especially me and Simon and Lars. We know each other in and out when it comes to music. But I always want to keep the door open for, you know, spontaneous ideas coming along, for things happening in the moment. I mean, a lot of the vocals we did, for example, on this album, we did all the vocals in my studio here, and we kind of course, we have some plans, we have some ideas about how to do this, how to approach the vocals.
Yeah.
But when we are in studio, we allow ourselves to kind of just do whatever we feel is right to do at the moment. Maybe the planned vocal lines wasn't too cool anyway when we actually recorded it. It was sounded great in, you know, my head or Simon's head or something like that. But once on tape, it was like, nah, this can be better. We can do it differently or something like that. So I think that is a very kind of, in a creative process, that is a very important part of the, yeah, being creative, actually, to be a little bit open-minded and leave the door open for spontaneous and, you know, capture the moment in a sense.
Would you say no rules? Like, as far as, don't put rules, just allow things to happen?
Yeah, I mean, basically, I mean, when I started the band, again, you know, one of my musical philosophies within this band is that, no, there is no rules, basically, in the sense that, you know, I don't, you know, next album, definitely not going to be a rap album. We're definitely not going to do a jazz album next time around. But, and there is a big but to it, and that's my point is that, it's sort of a little bit weird, I noticed, but the thing is that I, the mental side of it, I want the notion of I want to have, you know, I cling on to the idea that I can do whatever I want musically. Yeah. There is no rule, you know, as a basic standing in this. But of course, there is things that, you know, works and there is things that doesn't work and stuff like that within the framework of the band. But basically, like on a philosophical level, no, there is no rules.
Yeah.
Whatever sounds cool, sounds cool.
Nice. Allow yourself that freedom, and that's awesome.
And that is an important notion to me, at least as a composer. And even I have to add, you know, that for me, I think that is one of the driving force. I mean, doing this for 30 years, for my whole adult life, I've been doing this quite steadily and moving forward, doing a lot of albums, touring, and all that stuff. To keep the excitement, to keep the passion. I think that has been one of my ways of doing that, is to kind of try to, what can I say, to have this musical freedom and preserve this musical freedom. I've never done any commercial compromise whatsoever in the history of the band. I like for real, they have tried, people have tried throughout the years, band members and labels and you know what, but never, no, I don't compromise on my musical, you know, freedom in a sense, you know. So I think that is, and that pays off now after 12 albums and 30 years in the business. I think that pays off because I'm sitting here now, 48 years old, and feel as excited as ever before. And maybe even more so than when I was 19 years old and released the first album. And I think that is, I think in this business, you have to be very careful of not being eaten alive in a sense, you know.
Yeah.
You can keep on going on your routines, you have your skills, you have your equipment, so you can keep on going, whatever happens, you know, as a kind of a habit. But at some point, maybe this habit goes bad or goes sour, you know. But to me, I try to keep my own relationship to the music and the music I make fresh in a way. So that I keep the excitement, the passion, and hopefully people hear that when they hear the new album that, yeah, we have been around for some years. We have done quite a lot of albums, but still, I really hope that people hear that what we are doing on this album is something that we do with, yeah, heart, mind, and soul, so to speak, and even some blood. I mean, we really put all our efforts in the albums to make it as huge as possible,
yeah,
listening experience for the listener and the fans, and yeah.
So, I mean, at this point, you know, people, you're a lifer, you know, the longevity of it is, you know, even if there's got to be some sort of level of respect for someone to be sticking to something for 30 years and never compromising, like that is incredible just in and of itself. So, you know, I mean, this isn't a question, but congratulations, and you've won. You have won, sir.
Yeah, thank you. I sometimes sitting here now doing interviews with you and other, you know, journalists is kind of, you know, it's amazing. I feel privileged. You know, it's crazy how things have turned out, because when I started out back in the day, I was never that kind kid on the street that, you know, wanted to be a rock star. I was not that kid on the street that was like jumping in a bed with playing, you know, air guitar and stuff like that, and wanted to be I was always only into, not only, but I was into the music. That was kind of the importance of the whole agenda, so to speak. So it's, for me, it's a little bit kind of mind-boggling, you know, that I find myself like 30 years after, you know, being in a situation I am. It's kind of because by default, I'm quite a shy guy. I, you know, grew up on the countryside. I don't, you know, I'm not the most social guy around. I'm not the guy who is dancing on the table after 11 o'clock in the evening, you know, everybody's drunk. I'm the guy who's walking back home when the clock is 10 o'clock in the evening, you know. So for me, it's quite some kind of weird, has been a quite weird, but awesome, of course, musical journey in a sense. And finding myself now 30 years after, and looking behind, being, you know, traveled the US many times, US tours, and, you know, South American tours two times, and all over the Europe many, many times, and big, huge festivals. And that's one side of it. But then again, you know, traveling around, meeting people face to face, fans, like I meet grandmothers, I meet, you know, grandfathers, yeah. I meet kids, you know, with hair protection and stuff like that. And, you know, it's such a, I don't know, it's so mighty. It, you know, it's so music is powerful. Yeah. And that is something I really kind of the last couple of years, and maybe since Corona, after the whole isolation thing, that, you know, getting out in the world and meet old people. And there is so, you know, it kind of baffles me a little bit how powerful music is. And not only my music, but when you need the unifying element with music, you know, this language that it doesn't matter what kind of, you know, where you come from, what religion, what, you know, politics and your background and stuff. We talk, we're kind of the same page, you know, anyways, you know. Yeah. It's amazing. It's really amazing. It's an adventure. And that is very cool because, you know, that was also one of the ideas I had back in the day, that I'm not doing this because I wanted to entertain people necessarily. I want to do this because I want, you know, to have a kind of musical adventure. And then I want to bring, you know, people onto this musical adventure. So for me, this whole enterprise or, you know, whatever it is more like, I more regard myself as a musical adventurer rather than being some kind of musical entertainer, if you get my point. If there was kind of a spectrum here, I would be on the more kind of, I'm a musical adventurer. It might sound a little bit cheesy or whatever, but that's how I kind of frame it in a sense.
I love that. I mean, it's truly an adventure, and like that isolation, the pandemic, it proved how things can go away like that, right? And now we can embrace the humanity of it all, the like grandiosity of heavy metal music. Like, it's so cathartic and such an amazing thing that, you know, someone who likes pretty, you know, makes pretty, I would say, like, inaccessible to mainstream music can make a living for 30 years and have fans worldwide. Like, how cool is that? It's just awesome. It's a really cool thing to celebrate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And yeah, it's such and also I think, you know what, but maybe that's a subjective point of view. I probably very biased, but I have a kind of, you know, for me, music also, and the music we do, I kind of try to, you know, to me, metal music and music, you know, of course, not only metal, but music that I love. I'm also a music fan, you know, as everybody else. And I have a lot of bands, you know, that I enjoy liking. And the music that really gives me something that, you know, changed my life in a sense, that is also music that kind of empowers life in a sense. It empowers you a little bit. You know, the fighting spirit, the kind of will to continue struggle, to move forward, you know. It's something charging with music also, I think, in my opinion. At least that is for me. I get this extra, you know, spike in you know, it's energizing in a sense, music. And that's also something I want, because I think that something we succeed on very well on True North as an example.
Yeah.
Was the fact it's a pretty cold and dark album in many ways, but still there is kind of a little bit of an energizing, uplifting atmosphere over the album. It kind of gives you a little bit extra, you know, I don't know. And that was something I wanted to bring with me into the new album Fall, even though the thematics there is quite dark and brutal,
sure.
At least the framework of it, you know, Fall of Man, the change of season, the falling water, which is crushing and all that stuff, which is quite negative and kind of resembles a little bit the downfall of man in a sense, you know. But the contrast to that is this spark of life, this uplifting spirits, this reason why we still keep on fighting, you know. That's something I wanted to, you know, this duality was something I wanted to bring into this album in a sense that people, yeah, they feel the seriousness about the world, the gravity of being alive, the gravity of the nature and all that stuff that we sometimes call bad or sometimes, you know, whatever. But it's basically just happening. But in all this, there is a reason why humanity still exists. There is a spark of, you know, something there that makes us survive as human beings, that makes us want to fight on, to move on. I mean, we have wars in Europe now, which is... 2 hours flight from here, you know, in Ukraine and Russia. And you know, I'm amazed by the, you know, the Ukrainian soldiers, how they are fighting for a country. And, you know, it's such a, I don't know, it's, I mean, understand me right, war is a really bad thing and baddest, you know, it's a crazy thing. But it's also a little bit beautiful to see how people adapt to it and stand up and fight, you know. It's something, you know, impressive about that, in my opinion. This duality of life,
sure.
This black and white, this yin and yang, this, you know, winter and summer thing. So that's a core kind of, core idea of the band in many ways. Not only lyrically, but also musically. And that's also one of my points that I want, you know, I want my music to have some sort of human complexity to it, in the sense that it holds all the downs, all the ups, all the sunny days, all the rainy days, sorrow, grief, but also pleasure and love. You know? To me, that is a very important scope of the music, that it holds all these facets of humanity.
I mean, you said it, and the music has built to that point. Like, you were talking about how grandiose and like the term I use is like epic. When the singles for the last album came out, it was just like, just made you feel like singing and just like declaring. It was just like epic music, man. It was, and I'm stoked for the new record. We're talking about inspiration. You're talking about being a music lover, not just your own music, but like just everything and art. I have a question for you, and feel free to interpret this however you want. And what was the last thing that inspired you? It could be family. It could be a movie. It could be a book. It could be music. The last thing that truly inspired you in your soul.
Oh, that was a really good one. A really good question. When it comes to inspiring, I usually say when people ask me about inspiration, you know, it's life, my life. You know, I kind of come to that age that, you know, it's really hard to pinpoint, you know, a certain album or a certain thing or something like that. But I kind of find the life in general inspiring. But I must admit that, of course, lately we have had some, you know, pandemics. I don't think, you know, that I've directly kind of, okay, I'm inspired by isolation or anything like that. But of course, it has some kind of impact on me, of course.
Yeah.
Because everybody, whole planet at, you know, 1 year, 1.5 years or something like that, was into a kind of status quo or, you know, freeze situation or whatever, you know. Maybe that is one of the things. Another thing that I know that had some impact on me, because it's, you know, I come from a family in Norway where my grandfather was a war hero. He was like resistant against the Nazis back then and stuff like that. And he was living in this area, and he was running up the hills every second day with a bag of hay and weapon and dig the weapon down in order to distribute to the rest of the resistance along the fjords and stuff like that. So I've grown up in this. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to meet him because he died in 56 after the war.
Yeah.
But I, you know, for me, he has always been a hero, you know, and mm-hmm. my grandfather, and he's known in the village I live in, stuff like that, because of his deeds back in the Second World War and stuff. So the whole history about war, the Second World War, is something I grew up with, of course. My mother telling about, you know, my grandfather and stuff like that. So when you know, this Russian invasion came, which is, you know, in the big scope of things, close by, it's a neighbor. It's a few hours flight from here. And there is a war zone. There is a battlefield going on. Like for real, like people are actually killing each other, shooting at each other on 10 meters range. It's brutal, as you know. But that is, yeah, I have to be honest. I think that is something that has inspired me quite some. Not directly. I'm not writing about, you know, wars and guns and taking any sides or anything like that. I'm not dealing with it in that kind of a folky, mundane way. But on a philosophical, as a human being, as a world citizen, it of course influenced me a lot. It makes a huge impact on me. I have a boy now, he's 17. He has been talking about for 2 years now, going through military service and maybe doing a career in the military.
Yeah.
That also makes me like, okay, shit, should I worry or should I be proud? You know, it's the world have changed, and of course that has a huge impact on me as well as everybody else, of course. And of course I dragged some of it into the source of inspiration, so to speak. But of course we don't. I firmly believe, and I will always say the same thing, I guess, that we always try to make music that is beyond. And you know, music, in my opinion, the real classic universal music should be beyond politics, religion, and all that sort of things. In my opinion, but you know, if I wanted to, you know, bring out some, if politics was my agenda, I would be a politician. You know, if religion was my thing, I would probably be something else. You know, but I, you know, for my art history, it's important to do something that is beyond all this.
Yeah.
These things, in my opinion, but of course, all these things, and especially this war in Ukraine, have made a huge impact on me. I have to admit that, definitely.
As a lover of music and art, what's an album from your childhood and your upbringing that still hits you as hard as it did back then?
I have one album. I don't know why. And I questioned myself so many times why. Because I know a lot of people don't regard that as even closest to being the best album of the band. But I, you know, my mothership when it comes to music is Pink Floyd. I've always been since I was a kid. That is like the holy grail of music to me. I mean, that is beyond everything and that's above everything. And, you know, it's my big thing in life when it comes to music. And I always had this, I don't know why, this crush on the Final Cut. Mm. I don't know why. I just love that album so dearly. Yeah. And when I say that to some people, they're like, hey, that's not the best, you know, Dark Side of the Moon or something, you know, something like that. But I don't know. I think maybe it has something to do with that my father, something with the timing when I was a little kid, before I can remember, that he played it a lot or something like that. But I just have this extremely profound connection with that album in some weird way. But I, from an objective point of view, from a musician point of view, from me sitting here in studio and being a producer, or at least trying to be a producer, I kind of sometimes wonder, because it isn't the best album, but sure, there is some emotional connections there that I'm not really sure. but yeah, that's an album for me that means a lot.
Did you grow up in a musical household?
Yeah, in the sense that we listened to a lot of music, and it was always my father, my mother, and my sister was very kind of fond of music, listening a lot to music. There was a lot of music in my house. I remember my father was an old hippie, so we had a bunch of old LPs he imported from UK, and, you know, we wasn't able to get a hold of all these strange, you know, albums back then. So I grew up in that, but I had nobody in my family at that time playing guitar or music, sure, or active musicians in any form or shape, actually. But I guess I'm in that regard, I'm the black sheep in the family, though. Yeah. But yeah, family has always been a very important part of my, I would say, daily life, actually. Music is at least kind of, you know, the spice of life. It's the thing you do when relaxed. It's the thing you do when you just want to, you know, have a, you know, yeah, whatever. Even when I'm in sorrow, when I feel down, when I lost my father and all the stuff happening in regards to that, I music was my way of venting out, my way of dealing with it in some way. I, both as a listener, as a music fan, but also writing, you know.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time, man, and for redoing this interview. The new Bork Nagar album, Fall, is out February 23rd, your 12th studio album. Congratulations. I have to ask, any chance of another U.S. tour?
Yeah, we definitely gonna do it at some point in time. We are looking into it as we speak. But I can't, you know, I cannot say any some kind of accurate dates or anything like that. But everybody in the band wants to go back to the U.S. and the record company and a lot of people that wants us back.
Yeah.
So at some point in time, definitely yes. But I don't know. Maybe late this year, maybe early next year, maybe mid next year. I don't know. But we will definitely do our best to get back to the U.S. That's, you know, we love touring in the U.S. That's always a bliss for us. So, yeah.
Well,
at some point, yes.
When you make it to the Seattle, I'll have you up to the interview at the actual radio station. I'd love to have your band in, have you guys, give you guys some beers, and have a good interview in studio. We look forward to the whole album. We'll learn it, and we'll be able to sing along when you come to Seattle, okay?
That's amazing, man. Yeah, that would be unbelievable. Yeah, but thank you. Yeah. Let's hope we can get back, and that would be awesome.
All right. Well, stay warm, man. Talk to you soon.
I will. Same to you. Thank you so much for the support.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.